passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second hour, we've already had Jeff Lebby on, the new coach at Mississippi State. Great conversation with him. Let's work some of you in here as Expired is up next in Texas.
Hey, Paul, did you hear there's a sale on motorcycles?
Yeah, I mean, the report, now, again, what we don't, we gave you that story a minute ago. I don't know the veracity to this story, but, you know, it would be very, it took a lot to get him into A&M. I mean, A&M's one thing. Are you going to now return Bobby Petrino to the scene of the crime?
Hey, all those hypocrites in Arkansas, and all they did was talk trash. They're about to get a dose of their own.
Expired. Tell me this: if you do that, is there any reason not to go ahead and make a change then? I mean, just go ahead and make him the head coach and take the heat and get it over with. Because is there any doubt who has the who's a better head coach, Bobby Petrino, or the coach they currently have?
Exactly, and what you do, Paul, is instead of just don't have any female interns and everything will be all right. It'll turn out good for you.
No, I got to call you on that, Expired, because. I was friends with Petrino's attorney or agent at the time, and a couple of months later, after he got fired, I met with Petrino for about 2 hours, and he told me he was a changed man.
Well, we all have to forgive.
And by the way, I'm trying to remember. Somebody else told me that once too.
I'm a changed man, Paul.
And I, you know, it's funny. I believe Petrino.
I believe him too, man. He really did a good job at A&M. I think if you read the Athletic article over Jimbo, it seemed like he still had constraints on him, even though he was offensive coordinator calling plays.
And you know why? Because Jimbo was a terrible head coach.
You are exactly right, Paul. And I defended him, and I wanted him to do well. Because he said the right things, but he never did the right things. So it's a fresh start for us. And Bobby Petrino, I really do wish him luck. And I hope he goes back to Arkansas. So all you sloppy piggies can relish in all the crap you talked for the last year with him coming to A&M.
Hey, thanks so much. Dwayne is in Louisiana.
Hey, John. Hey, Paul. Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
On a Tuesday. On a two. Hey, listen here. I got Jimmy Young. Hey, if you the AD and your callers, if you were hired out your callers, who you hire as your head coach? Larry?
No, not Larry.
You were hired Larry the head coach and legend at the defensive at the offensive coordinator.
I am hiring Larry as my social director.
Come on. Why not on the coaching staff? Let him coach. Let him get some plays. Huh? Let him call some plays. What about legend? You let legend call some plays? You let legend be a coach?
I trust legend to coach, yes.
You trust legend to coach? Who else? Give me your five calls. Who you trust to coach? Who you think will make a good coach?
I trust you. And you know why I like you? Because if you don't like something, you'll just go ahead and fire the guy at halftime.
I'll fire him after he called that play. If that play don't work, I'll fire him right after that play.
Right. I mean, you know what I like about you? If you were the Auburn head coach, and
out of fire, yeah, been fired.
As the guy's walking off the field, you would fire him.
I told that defensive back, you might want to hit the portal. You might want to transfer right now, buddy. You might want to hit the portal. Hey, you out of here, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, my news conference would have, you know what I would have said in my press conference and my news conference? I said, look here, y'all. We lost the damn game, and them suckers, and them, my
Mark is up next in Charleston. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. First time caller, fan of the show. Appreciate you taking my call. I was just calling to find out what your thoughts on with the, you know, with what we got going on coming up this Saturday, what could happen if these like teams that don't have any losses, say Alabama beats Georgia, we go through this, you know, where would that put, is there a possibility you think that Ohio State could get back in the playoffs like they did last year?
No, I don't.
No way.
I think there is extreme Ohio State fatigue right now.
Yeah, so you don't think there's any possibility? Because I've got, I know some friends of mine that are saying, you know, they're Ohio State fans, and they're saying, yeah, you know, it's possible. If they have one loss, they were the number one ranked team, you know, in the college football
playoff.
Yeah,
I mean, I think all of that is true, but, and it shouldn't be this, but it is, the fact that Ohio State has probably benefited more than any other school in getting in without winning the Big Ten or even winning the Big Ten with a bad loss. It's happened a couple of times. And I just think this year there's too many other choices.
Yeah, there's too many good teams.
There could be mass carnage. I mean, you could get FSU losing, and you could Texas losing. If that happened, then you're freeing up, and Georgia winning, then you're freeing up a couple of possibilities. But I still think it's extremely narrow.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, the better question I think is, do I think Ohio State's one of the four best teams in the country? Yeah, I do. I think the four best teams in the country are Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Ohio State. That's not how this works. We don't pick the best. We pick some combination of good, bad, deserving, never been there before, ones from one part of the country. It's truly absurd. Paul is in Kansas. So hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul, I've got a question for you, but first I want to comment on Terrion Arnold's pick six touchdown at the end of the Iron Bowl.
Yes, sir.
It was ruled on the field that he stepped out on the 3-yard line, and so they waved the touchdown off, which the game was over, and it didn't matter who won. But on replay, that showed that he did not step out of bounds. So I'm sure there was a lot of money that changed hands that bettors are very unhappy about.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot about it because there were so many more pressing things. But, you know, after a game like that, it probably – the referees just frankly didn't care. It really had no impact on the outcome of the game. Jason is in Augusta. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I got a couple of things I wanted to bring up. As far as Alabama goes, our defense has held dual quarterbacks to, you know, basically 45 to 60 yards a game. If we do that against Alabama, we win that ball game. What do you think?
Well, you may be right, Jason. I'm not a soothsayer. I'm just a commentator. We'll be back. More of your phone calls, more guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and let's continue. More phone calls coming in. Mike is in Tennessee. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, listen, I just want to tell you, I really enjoy hearing Cat Daddy talk when he's the air with you. Really do. And I'm trying to get a big barbecue set up with him next weekend. And if you are north of Columbia, you're going to get steaks. And if you're south of Columbia, you're going to get crow. So he said, everybody bring your crow. Good day, Paul.
Was there supposed to be some meaning behind that? I'm not sure. I guess you have to live in the Palmetto State. Trey is up next in Alabama. I do understand that state better.
Oh, Paul. I've heard a couple of rumors, and then I have two questions for you. I want to ask you about the couple of rumors first, and tell me if you've heard of them. You know how they have Toomer's Corner up at Auburn, and they roll the trees and everything after, which is a great tradition.
I have heard.
I've heard one of the rumors is they're going to name that corner, that end zone, Isaiah's Corner. Just wondering if you've heard that yet.
This is the first I've heard.
And the second one, you know, Paul, we hadn't had chaos all year this year, and I think we're in for big chaos. Second one is I've heard the committee's been in prayer meetings the last couple of days just praying that the top four teams win and we don't have to go through anything. Have you heard anything about that?
That is exactly right.
And, you know, Paul, people talking about Alabama struggling against Georgia, I mean against Auburn, if I'm not mistaken, Georgia struggled against Auburn the whole game and had to score late to win. The score was only 27-20. So they both struggled against an Auburn team. And one other thing, you know, Paul, the guy that got beat in that corner, I got to thinking about this after we talked yesterday. When he knew he was beat, why didn't he just commit a pass interference penalty? Why didn't he just tackle the guy?
100%. I don't know. I really would like to ask, like to sit down with him and his coordinator and get some clarification on what they were doing. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Paxton is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul, I want to tell you I really enjoy your show, and I love the way you can stir up a fan base.
Thank you.
But the reason I'm calling is you and Trevor Matic, I think, at ESPN, y'all been saying that FSU's in trouble because we barely won. Well, you know, Washington, they barely won their game, you know, over the weekend. And thanks to a muff punt. I saw FSU, you know, hold off an unranked bowl ineligible team by covering a late onside kick just to get a first down to run out the clock. Oops, that was number one Georgia. They kind of struggled themselves. And then you had Ohio State. You know, they got a lower rank, and without their head coach talking about Michigan, you know, they blocked us out of our conference championship. Oops, that's Ohio State by -6, you know, over the weekend. And then you got Alabama, which I think is a strong team. No doubt. I'm going to tell you right now, I think they're the strongest team in the country. But I saw them struggle, you know, over the weekend. They won by 3. Almost a bowl ineligible team with Auburn, but not. But, you know, FSU won by 2 scores, and they managed to do it. FSU did it, Oregon did it, and Texas did it against a team that only got their only touchdown real early in the game, assisted by that roughing call. I know you saw it. It was a clean hit. What do you think, Paul? Do you think it was a clean hit?
It's debatable. But, you know, by the way, I mean, I think Florida State's a phenomenal program, and I'm a big fan of Mike Norvell. I'm just simply arguing that the Travis injury really changes the calculus.
Yeah, it changes the style of the game, but I think there's such a sound team all the way around. You know, anything can happen on any given Saturday.
Well, no, I know that. And whatever day, you know, I know what I've said about the game at Florida, because I just I felt like FSU needed to go in there and show that it was the same team, and they'll have another opportunity. But I think with Jordan Travis, FSU was a match for anybody in the country. I don't think without him, they are quite on the same tier as Alabama, Georgia, and maybe Michigan. Now, I know when you see me in these 90-second sound bites on ESPN, it may not exactly come out like that. But there's a lot of emotion this week that's going on. I don't think they're good enough. It's really no more than that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Paul is in Kansas. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul, you cut me off a while ago before I could ask my question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark is up next in Maine. Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thank you for my call.
Thank you.
I hope the committee tonight does us all a favor and puts Florida State to number 5. Nobody wants to see them in that top 4.
Mark, they're going to put them number 4 because they know they have the final week in their favor. So all they're doing is representing the first 12 weeks of the season. But next week the calculus changes across the board.
Right, but I'll tell you what, though. I mean, unfortunately, they're going to get boat raced by Georgia if Georgia wins. They're going to be a 10 to 20 point favorite. That is not the fourth best team in the country. We all know this. The committee's got to get their head out of their duff. You know? It's not fair to the other teams with one losses and stuff. They would be double-digit favorites, too.
You're right. You're right. And I realize this is part of the milieu of college football, and you know, we'll hear all the things they have to say. But tonight's rankings are irrelevant because you don't factor in the biggest game of the year in the SEC. You don't factor in the biggest game of the year in the Pac-12. So I mean, it's just. It just doesn't mean very much. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. And
thank you.
You bet. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm a lifelong Georgia Bulldog fan, but I have one question about Texas A&M. Why, if they had Petrino for a OC, why would they not have kept him for maybe the head coaching job?
Well, I think that's a fair point. You know, if you're arguing experience and competence over an extended period of time, does Bobby Petrino trump Mike Elko? Yeah, I think he does. It's just they were looking for a paradigm shift. And I find the Petrino thing to Arkansas more than intriguing. Let's not get hung up on the fact that he was there. He is taking over, you know, he's moving in for a wounded duck in Sam Pittman. And Sam Pittman, a week ago, was in better shape. I mean, I thought Sam Pittman threw away a lot with that Missouri game. That team didn't look prepared. They didn't look like they cared. And you know Hunter Yurecek, you know, got blindsided by that game after giving Sam Pittman a lifeline. So he went out and said, you hired the most competent offensive coordinator in the country. And that offensive—I mean, I don't know what—I don't know what's in the contract. I don't know what what's going to be precluded. But to me, that's a slippery slope. Bringing in somebody who used to be there—that's one of the best coaches in Arkansas history.
Exactly, and A&M seems like they're a win at all costs, pretty much. But anyway,
well, hey, by the way, Mike. If you're in college football at the highest level, you're in it at win at all costs. This has been proven time and time again. Let me check in with Greg in Tennessee. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
I was wanting to ask you about, you said about the 4 playoff teams.
Yes, sir.
You said Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. And that's all fine. And I know you're a sports analyst. But I don't know. I'm a Tennessee fan, by the way, so I'm not – whatever I'm saying, I'm not locking the teams, you know. But how in the world can you leave Oregon out? I mean, really, Oregon, really – if Oregon played Alabama today, they would beat Alabama. Would they beat Georgia? Don't know. Be close. But Oregon's a real good team. And
Greg, I would agree with you. I was making a statement based on who I think are the best, not who is going to factor into the playoffs.
No, I think Oregon is the best.
Well, okay, listen, there's no way we're going to settle that here, so I'll just simply respect your opinion.
I respect yours, and have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect if I'm sitting there on the committee, there's a chance I might look that way as well. I think Oregon has accomplished a great deal. But I just simply made a statement. If you get 10 football people in a room and said, let's not get hung up on analytics. I want you to look at the team here. That's why I said what I did. But that's not how we do this. It's like the Heisman. Is it the most outstanding quarterback? Is it the most outstanding player? Is it the player you can? Nobody knows what it is, even though it's spelled out. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Good afternoon to you. How you feeling, Mr. Feinbaum?
Thanks for taking my call. Good afternoon. Check it out.
What's that?
Mr. Feinbaum, can you hear me?
I sure can, yes.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, sir. Well, let me ask you a question. So next Monday, how many Alabama fans do you think they're going to cry when Georgia crushes the Crimson Tide? Do you think Ledger should just start crying right now so Monday he can just laugh and do some, like, lame joke? What do you think?
Yeah, AC, I've tried to live my life in the present. I don't really get too hung up on what's going to happen next Monday. Do you?
I mean, sure, you got to think about present and future, right? Because, again, it says you gotta think about your future, or else you're screwed.
That's by the way, I'm moderately aware of that, having lived a longer life than you. But it really doesn't matter to me what the reaction is Monday. I'm just trying to get some good calls Tuesday, and it looks like I'm failing. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back with Seth Emerson.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
In as we get ready for Atlanta. Seth Emerson covers the Georgia Bulldogs and other things for The Athletic. Seth, thanks for the time. So let's start with Georgia's health, because it was a little bit weird watching the game Saturday night. And a couple of Georgia players weren't in the game. There's some injuries. That's always a key deal with Georgia right now. What do we know?
Hi, Paul. I think that Brock Bowers would have played had that been the SEC championship. I know Kirby Smart, if you take it his word, says that all of the guys that were out, if they could have played, they would have played. But Bowers was running around in warmups, and he looked fine in warmups. Tate Radledge, starting right guard, that may be a case more of you don't want to push it when really your replacement is playing well. Georgia's offensive line, which probably gets the stiffest test against Alabama this season. Georgia's offensive line has been playing well. It'll be interesting to see if he's back in there. Ladd McConkey and Ra-Ra Thomas are, I think, the big questions for Saturday. They weren't even in uniform against Georgia Tech, but both of those are not considered long-term injuries. So are they able to play? Are they able to get through it? And McConkey is the one that I think people will especially focus on, but Ra-Ra Thomas is a good receiver too. I think Georgia's passing game, Paul, even without those guys, especially if they have Brock Bowers, is pretty good, but McConkey and Thomas would shore it up even more.
Okay. It's just one of those things. Alabama has some issues too, so it's not like everyone is healthy on the 13th game of the season.
Right. Everybody's dealing with something, and Georgia also is going to be – I'm pretty sure they're going to be without Jamon Dumas-Johnson, who's their starting inside linebacker. He's been out, I think it's three games with a forearm injury. He won't – Kirby was coy when asked about him yesterday, but it doesn't seem like he'll be out there. I'm also not sure that this is the type of game that Dumas-Johnson – that you would want a 75% of him, or a guy that you have to put a club on his arm for, that kind of thing. This is the kind of game you need a guy, you need some speed. And, Dumas-Johnson he's fast, but, it's more like where I think they may be doing a little bit more kind of nickel, maybe even a lot of dime to try and guard against Milroe running and that kind of thing. So you could probably stick some Samael Munn and their other inside linebacker in there and the dime in the middle of the field and a bunch of defensive backs.
So that's just from, you're being observational, talking to people. Alabama just, laid an egg pretty badly against Auburn and still won, which is great. But what do you think the Georgia coaches are talking about, thinking about as they get ready for this really amazingly unpredictable team?
Probably really wanted that miracle Milroe pass to not be completed, because for a couple of reasons. Number one is, you know, you, at that point, if Alabama beats Georgia on Saturday, Georgia probably still is ahead of Alabama for the playoff race.
Right.
But number two, you're a little bit more down if you're Alabama. You maybe feel like you've got a little bit less to play for. You know, sometimes winning a game like that that you don't deserve to win kind of lifts your spirits and makes you think that you are a charmed team in a good way and makes you keep going and, you know, keep working and all that other stuff. And I think if you're Georgia, you're kind of worried that that's what's happening with Alabama. You also just might be superstitiously thinking that Alabama is a charmed team this year. But I also just think that they also probably look at it and how did Alabama get in that position? And if you look at Alabama's results, they've had a lot of results like the Arkansas game, for instance, where you're like, you know, they're not really dominating teams the way, frankly, Georgia did over the second half of its season. With, you can say, with the exception of the Georgia Tech game, but, I mean, the score is a little deceiving there. Georgia had a touchdown pass in the second half there that would have made it, like, 38-13, but it was called back by penalty, and on the next, you know, series, they threw an interception in the end zone, so it ended up being a swing that made the game look deceivingly close, but... yeah, it's, you know, it's still, so it kind of sets things up as what we expect, where Georgia's the favorite, but you look at Alabama and say, well, they're still really talented, and they've got Jalen Milroe, and as far as we can tell, they've still got Nick Saban, so there's still reason to be scared.
Seth, how much, maybe not so much in public conversation, but how much is that game 2 years ago on this weekend in the back of Kirby Smart's mind, if at all?
I don't know how much it is. I don't know how much you have to say about it, because I think it just removed the hump. Here's how I would compare it. It's, you get dumped by your girlfriend, you go through all this period of pain and heartache, and then you finally get through it and your life is better. And now you can finally run into the girlfriend, you know, at a party and see her and say, yeah, I'm good. Okay. And you mean it. And that's what Georgia is going to be against Alabama on Saturday. By the way, I came up with this comparison.
I don't mean to jump in here, but it seems like you talked to my ex-girlfriend recently.
Well, I was unfortunately going on personal history as well, but you get the point.
We all have that ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Georgia can go see Alabama on the other sideline on Saturday and say, yeah, this is just a football game now. You are not the team we have to get through. Like, you are not our nemesis. And they may lose to Alabama. And then there may be people saying, oh, Alabama still has Georgia's number. And, you know, I don't think that would be true, though. I think it'll just be that Alabama was better. And Georgia will just say, okay, you know, we had a 29-game winning streak. It's over, you know, and we lost to a team that was better than us on this day. And now we need to try and get better. Just because Georgia exercised those demons 2 years ago in Indianapolis, I think that's done, Paul.
Seth, we know what happens if Georgia wins. If Georgia loses this game, and you know, this is maybe the ESPN chat show conversation, and it is the conversation, I can confirm that. But what is Georgia's argument to be in the playoffs?
I think they have to root for Florida State and Texas to lose. Maybe there's an argument against Texas. Are you picking the four best teams? Then if you are, they can make an argument that they are better than Florida State. I think most people would say on a neutral field, now with Florida State not having Jordan Travis, that Georgia would beat Florida State. I'm pretty confident they would. But if the playoff is supposed to be a way to determine a champion and value the regular season, it's really going to be hard for them to pick a team that's 12-1 and didn't win its conference over a team that's 13-0 and did win its conference. If Florida State loses, then it becomes between Georgia and Texas. You could have some, it could get interesting, but you've still got 12-1 conference champion versus 12-1 non-champion. I think that would be, end up being the most interesting discussion. You get into head-to-head, like, do you justify taking the team that, you know, lost to Alabama over the team that thumped Alabama? Do you look at just overall resume? That's where Georgia, I think, could have some hope. I just don't think that if it's between – I think as long as Florida State wins, I think Georgia would be in trouble.
Seth Emerson joining us from The Athletic. We'll talk more in a moment. And your phone call straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Greg is up next in Alabama. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, we didn't have much time to talk last Friday at Auburn.
So right.
I was talking to you about Pat Dye's documentary. And I understand that Jimmy Raines did a pretty good job on that document. Do you think there's much of a chance that the ESPN will show that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get a hold of Jimmy because Jimmy called me about 2 years ago and asked if I would participate in the project. So I'm just going to call him and ask him to give me some backstory on where they are. Jimmy's got a relationship with our network, so it might be something we can make work.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I was pretty upset with that game. It seemed like we were playing two different forces, Alabama and then the referees. I could have been wrong,
well,
but that's just my perspective.
I think if you look at the SEC officiating this year and you're having a tutorial on how it went, you would probably want to wipe away the final weekend of the regular season. There were problems
yes.
everywhere.
Well, you're right about that. And I tell you what kind of fan I am. I was stationed in Alaska in 88, drove from Fairbanks to Anchorage, an eight-hour drive just to watch the Iron Bowl hotel room, because back then ABC was not a station in Fairbanks.
Oh, man.
But I was very disappointed with that. And I normally pull for whatever team in Alabama is going to the championship. But this year, I'm going to have to say go Dogs.
I hear you. Hey, Greg, enjoyed talking, and I'll see what I can find out about the Pat Dye project. Very special to all of us who love Coach Dye. Mike is in Texas. So hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm only calling you to let you know about this. I think Alabama's way overrated, even before when they won their championships. They've been overrated. And, you know, you look at all these games they played, and I watch them on TV, they're televised, and a lot of them were under unranked teams, and they almost lost those games. And I think that last game was just a lucky. They've been lucky in most all the games. First
well,
game, I think.
You know something, Mike? I think when you get lucky once, it's luck. When you get lucky five times, yeah. it's talent.
Well,
you may call it luck, but Jalen Milroe threw a strike. I mean, it was a perfect play. And you need everything to go right, but they still pulled it off. It wasn't like the prayer of Jordan Hare. I mean, that was luck.
No, but I understand that. But if you look at a lot of these games, the defensive coaches did a bad job of it, because in the Arkansas game, Arkansas was there, even LSU was ahead. And they let these guys, you know, run all over them in the second half of the games. And this game, that defensive, why they went and just used two people, three people to put a defensive front when they should just put pressure, I don't think they would have completed that pass.
No, Mike, that part of this conversation, I agree with you completely. Thank you very, very much for the call. Mac is up next in Georgia. Hey, Mac.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well.
First off, just want to say I appreciate the way you represent our beloved SEC and all your conversations with all those other analysts that act like they don't know that it is the greatest conference in the country. I said.
Thank you.
Basically, I just want to talk about, first of all, I'm a Florida fan. I don't even want to talk about what goes on in Gainesville right now, but I'm afraid that if Alabama finds a way to beat Georgia in the SEC championships, that we very well might see a playoff without an SEC team. Make me feel better about that, Paul.
Well, I think you're right about that, but because this is a convoluted and absurd process, and that's why I'm so exercised by it, and I'm not concerned about the backlash. And this isn't, and no one's told me what to do, because you may remember a year ago I didn't think Alabama belonged in the playoff. I made that very clear on some pretty high platforms. I do think the situation this year is completely different, and my biggest beef is with FSU. Texas, that's a conundrum, because I think Texas did accomplish something very important. Oregon, Washington, I'll let that play out, but I don't care that FSU is going to be an undefeated Power 5 champion, because I frankly don't think the ACC this year is in the same stratosphere with the SEC. And when I know what the data says, but I'm not about data. You and I are football fans. We know what a good team is.
Yep. And right now I do think that Georgia and Alabama may very well be the best two teams in the country and could beat anybody in the top 10.
And I think Michigan and Ohio State are, I mean, they're slower. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday and he said, why are they so slow in the Big Ten? But they're still good teams. I'll take those four, and you can come up with, you can have the entire field, and I think we're going to win the conversation. Thank you very much. We'll get an update on some of the craziness of today, and there is some news. We'll talk about that in a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.